Hi, and welcome to the Kubernetes podcast from Google. I'm Craig Box.
And I'm Adam Glick. So, how was KubeCon, Craig?
It's always a very different experience, I think, for someone who's presenting at a conference to someone who's just there to enjoy it. So unfortunately, I was busy getting prepared and having a few great podcast conversations. So I didn't get to go to any sessions, but that's what YouTube is for. How about yourself?
It was great. It's my first time to see KubeCon China, as I guess it was for all folks there, but really great to see how the conference and the community are shaping up in China. It feels a little bit like where the KubeCons were in the States and the EU a couple of years ago. Dan Cohn talked about that a little in his talk, but you can see the technology and the enthusiasm are there and really moving forward, as there was a focus not only on the infrastructure pieces, but really a lot of time spent in the keynotes focusing on the things that are building on top of Kubernetes. Some of the big data, the pharma work, Kubeflow and ML, a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. And we've both spent a little bit of time in China after the event. What have you been up to?
Oh, just got a chance to tour around a little bit in the Shanghai area. I got out to one of the water towns called Tongli, which if anyone makes it to the Shanghai area, I'd highly recommend it, as well as just exploring Shanghai, which is a city on a scale to which I don't know that I've ever been to. There's over 24 million people in the city, and it is just amazing to see the buildings and just how vast a city it is.
Yes, I think there's, I'd have to check my figures. I think there's only 21 million people in Beijing where I've been the last few days. I gave a talk at the Google Developer Group here, a similar talk to the one I gave at KubeCon. And just, of course, when you're in Beijing, it would be rude not to go to the Great Wall of China. And I want to give a shout out to James from Trek Club. It's a fantastic tour guide who had a lovely day out at the Great Wall. You'll see some pictures come through on Twitter as I get the chance to post them. But if anyone wants to see the majesty and beauty that is the Great Wall, I can thoroughly recommend the Jinshanling section, which is mostly in its original state, with only minor reconstruction where necessary. It just goes on as far as the eye can see, and not too many people there, which is my recommendation. So check out the trekclub.org website, get yourself a tour with James. He will look after you.
Awesome. Shall we get to the news?
Congratulations to the Container Storage Interface team, who this week have released v1.00 of the CSI specification. Third parties can now write and deploy plugins exposing storage in Kubernetes, Mesos, and more without ever touching the core code. This unlocks GA of CSI support in Kubernetes, which SigStorage hopes will be in the upcoming 1.13 release.
The Harbor project has moved to an incubation project in the CNCF. Harbor is an open source container registry that started at VMware in 2014 and was open sourced in 2016. It was accepted into sandbox phase with the CNCF in the summer of 2018 and has continued to grow contributors and scope since. The CNCF highlighted Harbor at KubeCon China as a project largely developed within the country.
High fives to JD.com for winning the CNCF's Top End User Award at KubeCon China. JD.com, a Chinese e-commerce company, runs the largest production Kubernetes cluster in the world, according to the CNCF.
Google Cloud announced Kubeflow Pipelines. Kubeflow Pipelines are a new component of Kubeflow, a popular open source project started by Google that packages ML code running on top of Kubernetes, just like building an app, so that it's reusable by other users across an organization. Kubeflow Pipelines provide a workbench to compose, deploy, and manage reusable end-to-end machine learning workflows, making it a no-lock-in hybrid solution. It also enables rapid and reliable experimentation, so users can try many ML techniques to identify what works best for their application.
KubeCon Europe 2019 in Barcelona is coming up, and the call for proposals is now open. If you have an interesting talk you think others in the community would benefit from hearing, now is your chance to submit it. If you want tips on how to write a good proposal, check out our recent interviews with Liz Rice and Janet Kuo.
Rookout launched new debugging tools for Kubernetes and serverless applications this week that allow you to look at variables and execution without stopping your code running. They describe this as a breakpoint, though it's a bit different than a traditional breakpoint that you might be used to in a code editor, and is something a little closer to logging and monitoring tools. For those that are familiar with Stackdriver debugging on Google Cloud, this tool appears to provide similar functionality.
Yet another company who named themselves to never be spoken out loud, Scalia, with a Y, a logging and monitoring SaaS, announced deeper integration with Kubernetes. Scalia now offers cluster-level logging, aggregating logs from Kubernetes deployments. Slack integration, and stack tracing round out the other improvements in this release.
The CNCF has released their survey of cloud usage in Asia. Among the highlights, most respondents in Asia are using Kubernetes for testing, but plan in the future to use it mostly for production. Every container management technology increased in usage, but Kubernetes continues to lead the pack with almost 40% of respondents using it. Public cloud usage of Kubernetes jumped dramatically from 16% in March to 51% in November. Conversely, on-prem usage dropped from 60% to 31% over the same period. Lack of training was the number one challenge companies faced, with 46% of them noting this as a concern, and the way people are learning about cloud-native technologies had documentation as the number one source with 50% of respondents. A close second was technical podcasts. We hope we're helping you by being a part of that.
And that's the news. So Joe Hui is responsible for Tencent Cloud PaaS Center and Tencent's container, DevOps, and monitoring products and development work. Joe joined Tencent in 2010 and was responsible for their internal high-performance distributed communication framework and cache service, and then led the team who built Tencent Cloud's first resource management scheduling platform and Cloud Elastic Engine. Joe will be translated today by our colleague, Ray Wang. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you.
How would you describe Tencent to someone who's from outside of China?
Tencent is a company of dreams. Joe loves working at Tencent. It brings a lot of kind of convenient ways of doing things to people's lives.
What are some of the services or products that Tencent provides in China that people might not be aware of or help them understand what Tencent provides?
Tencent service in China pretty much covers all aspects of internet services. For example, in communications, right, they have tools such as QQ and WeChat. They pretty much cover the communication needs of the entire China's population. And then based on each platform, they have also additional value-added services such as QQ Space and Tencent Music. Outside of communication, Tencent is also probably the number one gaming company in the world. And Tencent now is also a cloud vendor as well.
I believe they're also one of the members of the CNCF.
Yeah, they're part of CNCF.
Joe, were you involved with joining Tencent to the CNCF?
Yeah, when Tencent made a decision to also want to serve customers out of China, they realized the importance of Kubernetes in reaching that business goal. So Joe was a strong supporter in getting Tencent into CNCF.
Does Tencent use Kubernetes for services that it runs internally, or is this just something that it provides to customers through the cloud business?
Both. They actually started using Kubernetes for internal infrastructure first. For example, most of their gaming infrastructure is actually on top of Kubernetes. And not only gaming, but also payments, big data, and some of the advertising workloads as well. They all run Kubernetes within Tencent. They've kind of waited till they've used Kubernetes internally to develop the expertise, gain some maturity before they opened up to serve external customers.
You provide internet services, gaming, and a lot of other functionality that you expressed. How is that different within China than it might be outside of China?
Because the culture is so different kind of within China and also in the foreign market, so you really have to target your products differently to the different audience. So when they provide services and products to customers out of China, they really have to kind of, you know, globalize and localize and make sure whether it's the interface or whether it's the actual architecture of the application speaks to the audience in that market.
We've attended the first cloud-native conference in China this year. Is there anything that is different about Kubernetes from a technical perspective that you think it has had great adoption within China as has been demonstrated? Do you think the reasons are the same for its adoption within China as in the rest of the world, or do you think there is anything different in particular about the China market?
I think technically it's similar, right? Because the value of Kubernetes is that it frees us up from a lot of infrastructure management work. And then China is starting to really pay attention to open source and really want to participate in open source. So in that regard, I think the direction it's evolving into is very similar to the adoption outside of China as well.
Speaking of open source, how is Tencent getting itself involved in open source and helping to build the community and projects that are out there?
So in the past, Tencent hasn't done a lot of open sourcing, but in the last couple of years, the entire company from top down or even, you know, bottom up developer driven, everybody really feels like, you know, they want to contribute to open source. So first, there is actually a team in Tencent whose job is to set up the framework so that the best products, the best designs within Tencent can find a way into open sourcing. And secondly, there's a lot of awareness and passion around open sourcing just organically growing out of Tencent. One project called TAS, and it's getting a lot of support from within Tencent to contribute to open source. Tencent is the largest user of KVM within China. So through using KVM, they've actually found a number of bugs and they're contributing to open source, starting from fixing the bugs in that stack.
Thank you.
And on the Kubernetes side, since they're just starting to work with open source, they're going to start from, you know, finding the problems, the pain points and the bugs and try to fix those first. And beyond Kubernetes, in the next 6 to 12 months, one project they want to do is to look at some of the best practice DevOps tools and processes and culture and find a way to get that into open source.
Joe, you and I are obviously speaking with a translator today, and most of the collaboration around open source, at least that I have seen, is in English. What is it like for you and your team who don't speak English to collaborate in open source? How has the community been and how do they accommodate that? How do you feel welcome as part of the community?
A little difficult, but
as you know, it's difficult. It depends a lot on group work. So within their team, there are folks whose English is, you know, better than the rest, and they serve as a bridge between the Chinese native speaking developer team and the bigger Kubernetes community who mostly speak English.
I know that there has been a big effort to translate documentation.
And it gets better. So Tencent is actually trying to also hire developers outside of China who come from an English-speaking background who can help Tencent to even connect better with the open source community.
I know that there's been a big effort in the SigDocs team to translate the documentation into Chinese. Do you think that has helped the adoption of Kubernetes within China?
That would be really helpful because when you port documentation to Chinese, that will lower the barrier of entry for a lot of the Chinese native speaking developers. You're going to see more Chinese developers participating in the open source community.
Kubernetes, from other places that I've seen, is really, you know, on a wave and changing a lot of things. Do you see the same thing here in China?
Yep, definitely.
If you look at other technology transformations that have happened, what would be something that you would think is analogous to what you're seeing happen with Kubernetes right now?
For example, the emergence of AI technologies.
In terms of customers consuming cloud services, we see that the container abstraction has been a great way for people to build applications and develop them. But we also see people moving to serverless technologies or functions as a service. You run a PaaS that is powered by Kubernetes. Do you find the Tencent Cloud customers like containers as a level, abstraction level? Do you feel that they are going to want to move to functions as a service? Do you think that developers will use both?
Most of the Chinese audience is still at the Kubernetes and container level. Conceptually, people are starting to understand serverless, but it's not used widely in application yet.
In a lot of cases in the Western world, the culture is driven by the developers going to meetups and learning about new technology, and then they go and convince their manager to look at that. Is that the same in China? Is the cultural change driving the technological change, or is it the other way around?
So especially in the container world, that trend is starting. It's maybe not as entrenched, but they're seeing that a lot of times it's because developers discover the new technologies, they start influencing the management layers.
Do you see more people adopting your Kubernetes services from a developer standpoint or from an IT standpoint?
Within Tencent, it's a lot of it's from developers. When developers understand the value adds from Kubernetes, they come to whether it's the admin or the management layer to influence the rest of the company.
What has been the most surprising thing about adopting Kubernetes within Tencent?
One surprise and challenge is how to integrate Kubernetes into their existing systems and processes. Right? They have people who are used to the current tools they're using. They don't want to disrupt the existing experience, and at the same time, they want to bring in the value of Kubernetes. So they've spent a lot of time trying to work on the integration experience.
And how have they solved that? Is that simply a training issue? Is that about bringing in new people? Is that about just kind of resetting systems?
So yeah, first they start with a lot of kind of education, right? Helping people to understand the value of Kubernetes, a lot of recommending this is the best thing to use. In other cases, for example, they have a very advanced kind of publishing system that has very granular controls, and Kubernetes does not have control at the same granularity yet. So they try to integrate these two systems together, build plugins for them to, you know, be able to work at the same level. Another example is that within Tencent, there is the policy of preference that every container has a fixed IP. So to enable containers to satisfy the internal requirement of fixed IP, again, they build plugin to make sure they can integrate.
So as you look to the future, you've started to get involved in the Kubernetes community. You're here at the event. You're a sponsor of the CNCF. You've brought Kubernetes into Tencent. You're building your own services on top of it. What's next for Kubernetes, the Kubernetes ecosystem, and Tencent?
They want to contribute in DevOps. So within Tencent, there's a product called Tencent Hub, which is what they use internally for DevOps. And it has a lot of great tools and best practices. And they want to bring that to Kubernetes.
And finally, Tencent publish a lot of games. What is your favorite game?
PUBG. Come on, PUBG.
Yeah, his favorite is a poker game, Texas Hold'em. Unfortunately, that game just stopped serving.
Thank you very much for taking the time and coming on the show today with us, Joe.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed something different in this week's interview. Enjoy your Thanksgiving if you're in the States. And happy DevOps to those who are keeping Black Friday and Cyber Money services alive.
Thank you, as always, for listening. If you've enjoyed the show, please help us spread the word by telling a friend. If you have any feedback for us, you can find us on Twitter at KubernetesPod or reach us by email at KubernetesPodcast@google.com.
You can also check out our website at KubernetesPodcast.com. Until next time, take care.
See you next week.